Donald on the Kitchen talks about food. Donald on the Kitchen talks recipes. Donald on the Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donald on the Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We come to you once a week here at this fine radio station. We're all volunteers here. We talk about what we like to talk about: food, farming, recipes, advice, opinions. Oh, we do, we do. This is the Donalana Kitchen. Welcome. We get by with a little help from our friends.
Yes, the Donalana Kitchen Show is sponsored by Practical Farmers of Iowa, a member-based, farmer-led, nonprofit organization that has been strengthening farms and communities through farmer-led investigations and information sharing since 1985. You can find out more at their website, www.practicalfarmers.org.
Yes, we do. And we thank them for your support, and thank you for being with us today. It's radio station. Oh, it is. Thank you, Donna. It puts us in the mood. Because Christmas is kind of sliding into us here. In Ames last weekend.
And we want you all to be prepared so yes. You can enjoy your holiday time.
We enjoyed Tuba Christmas.
Yes, and my favorite line in the whole thing was he said, this is really heavy metal.
It was. 97, count them. Tubas,
and
it was bare tones.
Beautiful. Just seeing all of the horns it was at the First Methodist Church, which has very good acoustics for that sort of thing. It's like all of that brass just kind of rolled up and washed over you. It was fabulous.
You got to hear all those Christmas carols happening in your sternum. It just rattled your whole
belly.
Yeah,
and some of them didn't translate as well to tuba as others, but Jingle Bells was fabulous.
And the arrangement of Hark the Herald Angels sings, I thought it was quite lovely.
Yes.
The tubas were all decked out in lights and Santa
hats. Tubas, euphoniums, and then what were those little things with the double bells on them?
A double bell euphonium, like from The Music Man, the double bell euphoniums, etc. Really, truly, there were four of them there.
Quite. And, of course, there was the tuba decoration prize. It was fabulous.
What a nice bunch of people. The youngest tuba player, this was her first year.
10 years old.
10 years old. Wow. The oldest tuba player, just kind of right next to her, 87.
Yep.
There you go.
Yep.
So it's a wonderful tradition. So we're looking ahead to the holidays here. There was a lot of nice choral music this weekend. And all of these nice things, you always wait for the time when the conductor turns to you and says, meet us for refreshments and cookies in the basement.
In the basement,
oh,
yes.
Oh,
yes.
We do. And we did, and we do. It was so much fun. Christmas cookies. What a good idea. The joy of making them, and we have the joy of eating them. And the joy of giving them away. Just the idea of Christmas cookies can bring up good memories of Christmas past.
Absolutely, always. There were plates arriving, passed around the neighborhood I'm thinking this year, okay, how about some for the ladies at the bank who are always so nice? Or stick some in the mailbox for the postman, the garbage man.
Yes.
It's, you know, all the people that really help us in our daily life. It's really nice to give them a little nod this time of year.
We all have a holiday taste memories, and it's nice to share them with people. Today in our studio is Becky Ringsby. Welcome to the Donalana Kitchen.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, Becky's here to share some of her Christmas baking things. She bills herself as a teacher of in-home cooking classes. I know she's taught classes at the co-op. Culinary Inspirations certified instructor. So, Becky, what do you do?
Well, I guess you could say personal chef. I love to teach classes on cooking. I love to inspire people to try new things, to experiment a little bit, to have fun with food, and just, I don't know, get excited about cooking. And that involves, introducing new flavors, new techniques,
Do this. So, for example, if someone wanted to give their best friends a gift of a cooking class in their home, how many? So,
you could do that, right?
I could do that, yep, yep. And then just depending on the size of their kitchen, you know, how many they could comfortably hold, you know. I can, you know, typically it's, you know, between like 6 and 12-ish, 15-ish mm-hmm, people, mm-hmm. something like that usually works pretty well. And it can be as hands-on or as hands-off as they want it to be. But, yeah, it's just really fun interacting with people, you know, on an individual
Everybody
basis like
that. Everybody
loves
to eat.
So, yes, yes.
And I have to say cooking classes are a really good idea because a lot of people have either forgotten or never learned how to cook.
Well, that's right. And sometimes, I don't know, food can be really intimidating for a lot of people, you know, you know, whether it's a new ingredient or
yes,
just a new flavor.
I call it the food porn of the Food Network.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like all of this heavy emphasis on chefs on television has created the idea that only specialized, highly skilled people can do this. And I call that food porn. I think it's important to empower people to cook. Mm-hmm. After all, it's not rocket science. No. Your mother did it. Your grandmother did it.
Right. Yeah.
And you can do it too.
That's right. That's right. And it's, I know it's a great opportunity too for people who, you know, aren't sure if they'll like that flavor, they could try it, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. or they could see how it's supposed to turn out at the end or things like that. So I think.
So,
it's really
so what's
fun.
A popular thing that you like to teach that people get excited about?
Let me think. Something like, say risotto, for example, where, mm-hmm. you know, someone might only order that in a restaurant because they think it's too, you know, difficult to do at home, or really, you know, it's really very simple.
Yes,
and so something like that where they can be like, ooh, it's all fancy, you know, and I can't believe I can do that now. And so I just love, yeah, empowering people to do things that they don't think that they could do.
And Becky has brought some cookie recipes, too. And Lana has brought some cookie recipes.
Well, yeah, we're going to talk about things that kind of slide into the holiday here. Before we go into nibbling, tell me about the name of your business and how you got into turning this into a business.
Yeah, sure. Well, the name is Savor Specialty Chef Services, and I picked Savor because the idea is that, you know, I want to help people, you know, savor good food, savor good times with, you know, their friends.
Remember to taste what you're eating.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And then I got started with food. I actually have a music degree, so it has nothing to do with food. But about 12 years ago, after my second child was born, and, you know, gosh darn it, the baby weight just didn't fall off like it did with the first one. So I decided I had to try. Started going to the gym, and then that led to just the idea that, well, I'd probably better start cooking better as well. Help myself out. And so I just started doing more experimentation in the kitchen and getting away from the meat and the potatoes and the casseroles that I had grown up with. I don't know, I'd never liked cooking before, but I think it was just because I was stuck in a rut and it was boring to me.
You also grew up in the food business in Ames, so.
Yeah.
There's that, too.
Yeah, my father owned a few different restaurants throughout his career, and so I did kind of grow up in that. So food always in some way has been a big part of my life. But as far as, yeah, the cooking, I discovered that once I started trying new things and finding some successes and just tasting different things that were new and exciting, I became really passionate about it. And then just our whole philosophy on food changed with our family. We got rid of the junk and the artificial stuff out of our house. So then I kind of just really, you know, moved along the health path as far as, you know, cooking real food and making it taste good.
Good for you. So. And tell us how people can find you.
I have a Facebook page, Savor Specialty Chef Services, that you can look up, and you can message me on that. It's probably the best way. So.
And you have a website, right?
I do not have a website. So just my
Facebook.
And I have an email. I guess you can also email me privately at just beckyringsby@gmail.com.
Very good. Where is your kitchen located?
Well, I have the traveling kitchen. So my personal kitchen is used for baking for mm-hmm. a coffee shop in Story City, Iowa, just north of Ames here. And so I've been doing that for about 5 years now. So their pastries. I also oversee their lunch and breakfast menu.
Which coffee shop is that?
It's Cafe Gaeta. And it's just next to Pizza Ranch right off the interstate. It has a little drive-thru, so it's really easy access. process. So I do that, but then I also, I'm regularly at Cook's Emporium. I'm regularly at Tweedsfield Co-op doing public demos. Mm-hmm. And then I am often at private kitchens, yeah, doing the personal classes.
Sounds like fun.
It is fun.
Yeah.
It is fun.
Good for you.
What do you have kind of in your bag of tricks for the holidays? What kind of things are you making for the coffee shop now?
Well, I always have a seasonal pastry that I feature there every month. And this month, and actually in January as well, I'm going to do this one. It's the peppermint white chocolate scone with a dark chocolate drizzle. So,
and she's brought some with us, and yeah. They look gorgeous.
Well, they're definitely they're the most popular ones of the year.
Well,
people get really excited about that.
So. Lana, let's see.
I always like things that go well with coffee.
Well, these do, yeah.
And now scones are not cookies. Scones are not really bread. They're what makes a scone a scone?
Well, kind of biscuity. Now, my scones may be a little different than some. They're a little more cakey, you would say. They have an egg in them, and so that makes them a little fluffier, not as dense as some scones. But
regular scones don't have eggs.
Some. They may or may not,
okay.
Yes.
Well, they can have an egg, or they can have lots of cream and butter, or
right.
Both.
Yeah. Yeah, so, this one has both.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
But,
mm-hmm. Oh, they're wonderful, Becky.
Oh, thank you.
And a little bit of peppermint, just kind of drizzled on the top.
Yeah, not yet. Overwhelming.
It's just in the glaze, yep. And mm-hmm. then there's some chopped candy cane on top. And then, yep.
Yum.
So that was kind of a fun creation to do. I kind of had the idea to do a peppermint scone and just kind of experimented. And
oh, very good.
So
yeah.
If one wanted to make now scones need to be eaten quickly.
Yeah, they don't have a long shelf life. Now, if I make them for myself, I'll pop them in the freezer mm-hmm. and then they warm up nicely out of there and they'll keep for a little longer. Yep. But a few days, I would say, would be a fine.
So this is something one might want to make very close to Christmas or the day after, or I'm wiping
yes.
the frosting off my face. Thank goodness this is not television. So a lovely thing to make maybe and take around to your neighbors. So Becky's are probably a classic, basic, use your favorite scone recipe. And then she's put a white frosting. Lana has to wipe my chin now. This is pretty pathetic. Then she's put a white kind of frosting.
Yeah, just a powdered sugar glaze, mm-hmm. just about an eighth of a teaspoon of peppermint extract.
Yeah, sprinkles so the glaze has the peppermint,
yep.
then the broken candy canes, and then
yep.
you've kind of drizzled chocolate across them.
Yep, melted dark chocolate. There's white chocolate chips inside as well.
Oh!
Oh, special Christmas
yes.
coffee thing.
Lovely idea.
What
lovely
are some of
idea.
Your other favorite flavors to make for scones throughout
for scones?
The year?
Let's see. I do a strawberries and cream one that's also
Ooh.
Popular in, you know, strawberry season.
Very good.
I do that. And I do a maple one. I do, a dark chocolate peanut butter one.
Well, this is the thing about scones. You can be infinitely
for sure.
personally creative.
Yep. You can be.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
That's lots of fun.
Well, with Christmas coming, what other things can we make, give, share? What things do you kind of make around for Christmas here?
Yeah, well, I like to give food gifts.
Me too. Lana too. So, yes, of course.
That's just a lot of fun.
I can get food gifts
yes,
as well.
Me too.
Homemade.
Yes. So, you know, throughout the years, I always kind of I think about, you know, what can I do this year? I don't know. I've done several things throughout the different years. One of the most popular ones, I guess, that people have really enjoyed is I'll make my homemade vanilla extract.
Mm-hmm.
And that's super easy. You just get.
Do you use bourbon? Or what do you use?
I use vodka.
Ah.
So I just get a big thing of cheap vodka and the vanilla beans can be. You can find them pretty cheaply actually online
mm-hmm,
or Trader Joe's as well actually. But very easy to make, but, you know, something practical that people can
and
use.
And how long do you steep them?
They need to be 2 months-ish, so you kind of got to think ahead on this
yeah,
one.
Yeah,
a little bit, but for
so
at least 2 months.
So you get, like, some pretty little bottles.
I do. Yep. So Hobby Lobby actually is a great
yeah,
supply.
They do. They have
and
a
you wait
big
for the 50% off deal, and, yep, you get lots of bottles
yep.
for cheap. So that's one idea. I also like hot chocolate mix. That's really simple to put together. And you can customize that. You can put, you know, coffee grounds, you know, in there, or like peppermint, chopped peppermint in there, or you could do...
That's fresh coffee grounds.
Yeah, or espresso, like kind of like the Via packets are really great. Yeah. Just dumping those in there. Also just, you know, candy canes, stuff like that, chocolate chips. You could put that in there and...
So you make it a kind of just add milk mix.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Another thing I like to do is, homemade marshmallows. Those are kind of fun.
Only if you have a stand mixer. Okay?
Exactly.
tell us about homemade marshmallows. Yes. I have no idea.
Actually, I think one of the first things I did when I received a stand mixer from my husband was to make marshmallows because it was such a disaster trying to use the...
Oh, yeah. You just can't unless you... Once you've I actually bought my KitchenAid to make marshmallows.
Yep.
Because I finally had a recipe where that was the only way really you could manage it.
Right. It just fluffs up so much. It'll clog up your little hand one if you don't have the stand one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, yeah. And plus it gets, you know, a little tough to beat. So you need kind of the bigger motor, too.
Oh, because this is taking egg whites to kind of the max. Is that the idea?
Yeah, it is. It is. But they're so easy. You really just, mix it to death and then let it sit overnight and cut them up and toss them in powdered sugar. And I don't know. I mean, I have piano students because I do have my foot in the music world a little bit. And I like giving them gifts, and this is one of their favorites.
So tell me how you color and flavor, because I'm sure you customize them.
It depends on what I'm in the mood for. So I'll do peppermint ones, and actually where I've also done I'll put like a little glaze on them and put chopped candy canes on those as well and make them look pretty. Mm-hmm. I've done chocolate ones where you just add cocoa to the regular marshmallow recipe, and you can drizzle those with a little dark chocolate and make those a little fancy. And that's pretty much the extent of what I've done. I've tried, I think layered ones where I've, you know, colored pink and done that. Oh, I've done green. I've added some green food coloring and did red and green marshmallows once.
That sounds very, very Christmassy. Yeah. This is good. This is good.
And kids like this sort of thing.
They do. They do. Yeah, for sure.
Good. Tell me about Kringla. I always assumed Kringla was a Christmassy thing because there's a Kris Kringla. I don't come from a Kringla tradition. But
Me either. I've never made them.
But moved to Central Iowa, and what a nice thing to find here. Tell us about Kringla.
Yeah, well, I grew up in Ames, and I have not grown up with Kringla. But I moved to Story City, and, you know, that's a Norwegian town. And so...
Yeah, it's probably the Kringla capital of North America, right?
So, you know, as a chef, I decided maybe I should learn how to make it. So in typical fashion, you know, I did a lot of research. There's a lot of different recipes out there. You know, some have, you know, just sour cream, just buttermilk. Some are butter. Some are shortening. Some are both sour cream and buttermilk. So, again, with a lot of experimentation, I settled down on a recipe. And it's butter, and I do use both sour cream and buttermilk in there. But I find that some kringla can be really dry and flavorless. And so that was my goal, is to make kringla that was not dry and not flavorless. So I'm really happy with this recipe. It's pretty easy to do. It's a lot of fun. I'm actually doing a class on that this week.
Oh, good for
you.
Let me ask you, in all of these, what kind of flour are you using?
I use King Arthur.
Okay.
That's usually what I go for.
Yes, it's very manageable and always standardized.
So. Yeah. Yep. No, I find that's a quality product. So.
Very good. Kringla, a good invention. I remember I moved to Central Iowa about 30 years ago now. Oh, my goodness. And one of my first visits to Story City, I remember they maybe don't do that now, but at the McDonald's by the interstate, they had a rack of Kringla. I thought, what a civilized place. It just, what a nice thing. Kringla is a very wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Good. Do you have any other cookie Christmassy memories? I mean, what's a favorite family cookie that has to be made? Just has to be made.
Well, there's more than one.
We have a whole hour.
Well, one thing my mom did do was a lot of Christmas baking. And so I'm very nostalgic. And
there
that has been passed down to my two girls. So now they're very nostalgic. So it's come down to where I cannot omit anything. There's about five or six things that are standard.
Go back.
I can add.
Just keep doing it until they all grow up and leave home. Then you can change and do whatever you want. But keep it up.
Yep. So they are very adamant that I cannot omit anything.
Well, are they taking on some of the responsibility?
They
themselves?
Are, especially my youngest daughter. Sometimes, you know, I get a little burnout in the kitchen when I'm baking for the coffee shop. I'll go around and turn around and cook dinner. But as far as baking something else, I'm not necessarily thrilled to do that. So my youngest daughter, my 13-year-old, she is a dessert-y type person. So she has taken it upon herself that she's like, I guess if I want cookies in the house, I'm going to have to make them myself. And so she does.
Oh, even better.
Just like the little red hen. I like that. Good for you. Well, that's good because.
So what kind of cookies?
Well, some of them are pretty, you know, classics. So I'll do like the chocolate crinkles. I'll do sugar cookies, the cutout cookies. I'll do like the candy cane cookies with the little peppermint.
Oh.
You know, the ropes. They're one's red and one's white, and you like twist them around.
Oh, my.
I'll do those. I do cream de mint squares. Those are nice and yummy with the green middle of the cream de mint.
I do Divinity. You know, the regular Divinity with the black walnuts in it.
Uh-huh.
This comes from my childhood.
Now, see, there's always something.
Yep.
There's always something. You said the cream de mint thingies.
Yep.
They're kind of like a little bar, right?
Yeah, they are. Some recipes have like a brownie on the bottom, but ours is, and it's just butter and chopped graham crackers and powdered sugar, and you put that on the bottom, and then there's a cream de mint.
And these all came from your mother,
yes.
The recipes.
Yep.
See? And it's very important. You have to do it the right way. You really do.
Yep.
You really do.
Does your mother still do it?
No. She'll do a couple of things. She'll do a couple, because my dad was still one, you know, his favorite. So.
Yeah. Well, see, then you can give some away.
Yeah.
I think one nice thing about cookies, we can always take one and then it's just one more. They don't have to be very big. Christmas is a wonderful time to make cookies. You're listening to KHOI. This is the Donalana Kitchen Tasty Radio for the heart of Iowa. Welcome back. This is the Donalana Kitchen. We are around the kitchen table today with Becky Ringsby talking about lovely things to make for Christmas. That was March from the Nutcracker, Opus 71, from the ballet, The Nutcracker Suite. You know, suite as in S-U-I-T-E, suite. Well, we're talking about suites, S-W-E-E-T today. It all fits together.
Right.
Yes, it does.
Time to get out that Christmas music and begin baking.
Those two things go together
very
well.
I actually put it all on and turned it up fairly loud.
Oh, very good.
It's inspiring, you know.
Oh, inspiring. Right. That good music, or turn up the radio, good for vacuuming, too. Anyway, now, we're talking about more cookies. Donna, fling us a recipe for Christmas cookies your way.
For cookies, I do two things, which I've always done, starting with my children. I use the Rich Roll cookie recipe from The Joy of Cooking. There is a regular roll cookie, and then there is the Rich Roll cookie. And the Rich Roll cookie uses more butter. Mm-hmm. Of course, I have to always tinker with the recipe. So I usually put in, of course, vanilla, which they call for, and sometimes I put in lemon zest. And I also usually put a little coriander powder in, and sometimes a little pepper, just a little pepper. And I think for me, the main difference that I use is I try to use our local early morning harvest flour. They have a whole wheat baking, not the bread. Don't use the bread flour. That does not work.
Oh,
but they have the whole wheat pastry flour. And then they also have their sort of white all-purpose flour. And sometimes I mix them kind of 50-50 because I find that flour gives a slight nutty flavor. So I pretty much use that in all my baking. But I think in something as simple as the roll cookies. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we've got a huge collection of stars and snowmen and, you know, all of those things that have gone through my children, my grandchildren.
So when the when the recipe says roll cookies, that means rolled out cookies.
Yes,
huh?
Yes. And then you use the cookie cutters.
Ah, very good.
Classic cookie cutters. And the other thing that you use cookie cutters for, of course, are gingerbread men.
Okay.
And I have been known to, I'm like thinking of gathering a few neighborhood children because my grandchildren they're too big for this, but maybe getting a couple other little local children because I like to, even though it's not a Christmas story, you know the gingerbread man story. Run, run as fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man. So gingerbread is really, I think, very good at Christmas. And Lana, you made ginger snaps, didn't you?
Oh, yes. Ginger snaps, ginger snaps are good for Christmas.
Yeah, it's very
good. They're my favorite. That recipe is on the Donna Lana Kitchen website. You can find it at khoyfm.org. We have some recipes there. This ginger snap cookie recipe, I found when I first moved to Iowa many, many moons ago, it was in the Des Moines Register.
It's really nice because it does have that snap, but it's not the kind that you break your teeth on.
No, not good. Not
really good.
And when the Des Moines Register cookie recipe started out with 1 cup Crisco. I've changed things around. I wrote 1 cup shortening in the cookie recipe, but these are made out of lard.
Oh, bravo! Oh.
And they're made out of lard from a local lard.
Remnant Hills. Great lard.
Yeah. Yeah.
These are fabulous.
Because
Lana.
I have tried just to have cookies. Now, you can make them all with butter. That's fine. But they don't crackle. They don't snap. Mm. They end up being very
good. I was wondering, because if you'd used butter, these have a really nice chewy texture as well.
I think the butter would make it chewier or something.
They might fall apart more quickly.
Right, right.
More delicate.
Right. Anyway. Hmm.
Oh, these are good.
Three cheers for pigs. Three cheers. Do you bake, cook with lard, Becky?
I do not.
Oh, they're very good. It's a leap of faith.
Yeah.
But you think, well, butter, that's an animal product.
Right.
Lard is an animal product. And especially if you get a really good quality and taste it first so it doesn't taste too much like bacon.
Right. No. You have to get a We now, fortunately, in town have good lard.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can find lard in a lot of different places, but the food co-op has some really nice lard. And you kind of know that the pigs have had a good life. There you go. Speaking of local, sourcing local, do you source things local for any of your products, Becky?
I love to get local anything whenever I can, for sure. So, I'm very, very sad when farmers market season is over. It's kind of a, drought time for me. But near Story City, actually, just west of there is Red Granite Farm. So they're my egg supplier and main produce supplier when it's in season. So
Lana has – I forgot to ask you to bring eggs for me this morning.
All right.
I'll get them.
All those eggs. Oh, yeah, yeah. This time of year, everybody gets pretty
– We need lots of eggs for the baking.
Right.
Yes, we do.
Right.
We can't
beat farm fresh eggs either. You can't.
No.
Once you eat those, you can't go back.
That's right.
I can't go back.
That is
well, that's
really
one of the
true.
Nice things you can tell your clients about.
That's right.
If you do one thing, just get them to taste.
Yep.
Very good. The best thing.
Well, and if you're doing a cooking demonstration – the visuals between a farm fresh egg and that bright pop of color. If you take a supermarket egg in, they may never eat those kinds of eggs again.
Well, I know. Well, and I've heard something said to me once. It just makes a lot of sense that your final product can never be as good or it's only as good as the ingredients that you
use. Absolutely.
So you've got to start with the good ingredients.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So the other thing that I make, of course, is fudge. This is one of my signature things. I even do it because if I don't do it, I get complaints from my friends. Where's your fudge, Donna? Why didn't you make fudge this year? And fudge, like truffles,
mm-hmm.
which Beck, did we talk about the truffles yet?
Not yet.
No, we didn't.
Oh,
okay,
wait.
So the fudge and... there's not much difference between fudge and truffles, except probably truffles have a little more butter. But the fudge is basically you're just melting the corn, and I use dark chocolate chip, the corn syrup. I mean, the cream. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. I'm drunk on these cookies. I'm telling you, I've got a sugar high going on here. So in a double boiler, which can be, and usually at my house is a metal bowl over a pot of boiling water, and you don't let the water touch the bottom of the pot. It's that simple. And you just pour in the cream and you melt the chocolate chips. And I am busy reducing sugar in my diet. And I also think that sugar, your palate, after a while, adjusts to less sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So I like using as dark a chocolate chip as I can find. So it's just cream and a sweetener, not too much sweetener because I don't like them too sweet. And then you can customize the flavors. So I do things like, nuts, of course, any kinds of nuts. My favorite combination is pecans, cocoa nibs. And then I do this thing. I do a fruit and nut one. So there are these dehydrated cherries or raspberries. And I put them in the food processor and just grind them down to a powder. So they're not adding texture. They're adding the fruit flavor brightness. So I think this year I'm going to do cherries, pecans, cocoa nibs. And then I put a little tiny bit of vanilla. And then I go for the spices like cardamom, particularly at Christmas, is really good. Coriander. And mixes. Sometimes I add cinnamon, but I use Ceylon cinnamon, so it's not like screaming cinnamon at you. It's that more floral undertone. So, you just kind of work it around and go whatever flavor you want. And then you just pour it into a Pyrex pan that's been lined with foil so you can easily lift it out. And I could make it today and make two or three pans and have it in the fridge and just keep cutting them up and making packages for gifts because it's done. It can sit there. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves it, and it's my favorite gift to give.
I have a chocolate question with two knowledgeable women sitting here. What is the difference between chocolate chips and bars of baking chocolate?
Well, there's two things. I use chocolate chips simply because if you buy the bars of baking chocolate, when you're melting them, inevitably you're going to have to chop them up.
Mm.
So, and, but bars are good for certain things. Like you can buy higher cocoa quantity, usually in a bar, than you can in a chip.
Is mm-hmm. that your experience too? Some for each?
Yeah, either? It depends. They say that with the chocolate chips, you know, they put something in them to help them hold their shape so they don't melt quite as well as with the bar.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I like to use like Ghirardelli or, you know, a higher quality chip than, you know, like Hershey's. And I haven't had a problem. So, and to be honest,
either.
It is really a heck of a lot cheaper to buy the chips than the bar for the, you know, same quantity. So mm-hmm. I've kind of settled on the chips.
Well, me too. And it's less labor.
Yes. Yeah. You don't have to chop.
You can pour it in, yep. and they melt fairly evenly mm-hmm. because they're all the same size.
Well, there's more air around them. I mean, they're not in mm-hmm. a lump.
Yeah.
Right? I've used both, and that's very good.
So tell us your truffle recipe.
Yeah, so another gift idea that I like giving out, something that's super easy, or even, you know, if you're having a little holiday party or something and mm-hmm. you just need a small dessert for people to have is a chocolate truffle. So, again, you know, like fudge, just very, very simple with the heavy cream and melted chocolate and vanilla. And what I like to do is add some liqueur to make it a little more interesting.
And
so adult it up.
Which liqueurs do you use?
Well, it depends. Kahlua is probably my go-to. I just
mm-hmm,
think coffee and chocolate go together
Absolutely.
Really well. But, you know, I've also done, like, bourbon before. I mean, you could do rum. You mm-hmm. could do, like, an orange liqueur because I like orange and chocolate as well.
Caution here.
Mm-hmm.
Don't add too much because then it won't come together.
Right.
You're not going to get drunk off these truffles.
No.
You're just going to have a flavor.
Yes. Yeah. And I don't know. It just makes it's that little something that makes them
fancy.
A little different. It's fun. Yeah.
It's adult. Yes.
Yes. Very much. Actually, I like to do that with a lot of chocolate. I make a chocolate gelato and I add mm-hmm. just a little bit of Kahlua to mm-hmm. it where you can't mm-hmm. taste it really, but it's there and it's really nice.
Yeah, I almost always put – that's why I put the cocoa nibs in the fudge.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I put a little espresso powder in the mm-hmm. fudge too. Not to where you taste it and go, oh, it's coffee.
But it enhances
it deepens the chocolate mm-hmm. flavor. Now, the other good thing about the truffles, just like the fudge, you can make the mix and have it sitting in your refrigerator. Mm-hmm. And then for various events, you just take some out and you – actually roll them like about a teaspoon or large-ish teaspoon.
Mm-hmm.
You roll them in your hand to get them round, and then you toss them in cocoa powder.
Yep, cocoa powder or powdered sugar if you want them a little sweeter mm-hmm. or even like really finely crushed, you know, nuts or something you can do.
And good. I've done them also where I put a piece of candied ginger, for example, or a nut or some different things,
surprise.
Right mm-hmm. in the middle of it. And then both with truffles and fudge, the fun, of course, is in the packaging. And so, you know, you get your little candy cups. So you've got red or white or green mm-hmm. or mixtures. And you make little baskets and little,
yep.
you know.
Yeah.
Three quarters of the fun is in the pack. Presentation,
right.
presentation.
Yes.
There you go.
Eat with your eyes first.
That's right.
Oh, that's very good. A lot of these... Well, some of these recipes you can find on the Donalana Kitchen webpage, which you can find at khoifm.org. And that's a lot of information there about this whole great radio station. There's lots of shows here. And you can find out shows by lots of nice people. You probably even know some of them. These are local people talking about their local things. Our page is on there. Go to the Donalana Kitchen. We've got archives, too. We've been doing this for quite a while.
We're in the fourth year.
If you can't get enough of us, listen to old shows. Put that on when you're cooking. You never know. You never know. You might get inspired. Go.
Oh,
Welcome back to the Donalana Kitchen. Ah, music and cookies. Yes, they do go together. They do go together. Becky said that she has her foot in the music community. She was a music major to start all this stuff out. So that all makes sense.
I sing when I cook sometimes.
There you go.
It's like singing in the shower.
I do not.
Yeah, so sing your ding dong merrily is on high there. Yes, we do. All right. I have a news item here from the Donalana Kitchen News Department. Tick a tick, tick a tick, tick a tick, tick a tick. That's the ticker tape. Yes, we have it. This is from the Ames Tribune. ISU had an ISU signature ice cream contest. The Department of Food Science and Human Nutrition,
which used to be home ec,
wait a minute, back in early fall, decided, well, this was this year's competition, and they wanted to come up with some ice cream flavors that they could, like, I suppose, patent or whatever. You know, put a license on. They're teaching everybody
to make processed food.
Make a product. So, well, ice cream contest, good idea. I like that. So, here's the winner from the Iowa State Ice Cream Contest. Psy as in the cyclones. Scream.
Psy Scream.
Now, this makes sense, a little historical background. This is a peanut butter ice cream with a fudge cyclone swirl and a chocolate-covered rice crisps.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh,
lots of stuff in there. Now, this makes sense if you know about Iowa State. The peanut butter is from George Washington Carver, ISU alum, who made significant strides in the peanut industry. The swirl is for the cyclones, which is the athletic teams here. And then the chocolate-covered rice crisps.
We grow a lot of rice here in Iowa, right?
But you had to do something. But there is a connection because Mildred Day, a 1928 home economics graduate, is credited with inventing the Rice Krispie treat.
Oh, okay. Rice Krispies treats. We have to say. And here's something you can put on your Christmas cookie. If you take the classic Rice Krispie recipe and add a bunch of cinnamon to it, it comes out very Christmassy.
There you go.
Sounds good.
It's good.
And children like to make that.
Well, we're here in the kitchen with Becky Ringsby. We're talking food. We're talking Christmas cookies. I have a question also about, we call them roll cookies. I call them cutout cookies.
Oh, no? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So here you're cutting things out, and you've got all these little bits left over. As you keep adding the bits back into the dough, don't the last cookies get kind of overworked, kind of hard?
Well, I'm in the waste not want not department, and I just keep re-rolling it. And my theory is if, you know, you're gentle with it every time you re-roll it. You're not banging it up all over the place, you know, and I've never had a problem using up all the bits.
I waste not want not. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we re-roll them. What I have found maybe that might happen is that they tend to spread a little bit more after you bake them and don't hold their shape as well,
especially
because
if they're
warmer.
With butter. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But what I've also done is always done a little at a time and keep the rest of the dough in the refrigerator as we're rolling a little bit, and then taking the scraps of the one, putting that in the fridge, then taking out the fresh, so to try to keep it more chilled, and I find that that's a little bit better.
Ah, that's a good tip, keeping it chilled, because that butter does respond to your
hands. Or you could do it in a cold kitchen.
A cold kitchen.
Yeah, which my kitchen is never.
Actually, I set things outside the sliding glass door in the deck, making sure that it's covered, because you never know. But I can. I never do that with cookie dough, though. I should do that. I bet that would help. That's good. Well, I mentioned some cookie recipes that were on the Donalana Kitchen website. And here's one. I don't know if you've ever had it before. Donna just tasted one of my rice flour cookies from Iran. And this is a cookie that is made with rice flour, butter, 5 egg yolks, confectioner's sugar, and quite a lot of rose water, and some cardamom, and poppy seeds or sprinkles for garnish. And it's a wonderfully different kind of Christmas mm-hmm. cookie because, and if you don't like rose water, you'll bite into this and not enjoy it at all. But I do. I like that taste. It's a real.
What did you call this? The What Would Baby Jesus Eat cookie?
Yeah, it's What Would Baby Jesus Eat cookie.
You know, it's from the Middle Eastern.
It is. It's from Iran, and I figure, well, we have all of these Christmas traditions, and then we try to work this Christmas story in about the manger and the wise men coming from the east. And what do we eat? We eat stuff from northern Europe.
Teutonic sort of things. Yeah. Yes, for sure.
And, you know, we slash down Christmas trees and we burn logs. And now, let's think, just make our mind go a little bit to another part of the globe where maybe those kind of tastes are a little more usual. And so this is the What Would Baby Jesus Eat cookie, I think.
And it's very good, Lana.
It is.
And then now for the Teutonic. What's this one called?
Back to the Teutonic. I love making pfeffernusse. We talked about pfeffernusse on our very first Donna Lana Kitchen way back in
4 years ago. 13, would that 13, be right?
Yeah. Okay, Christmas 13.
Do the math. Here we go.
Here we go. Yeah. And, well, they said, come on and talk about Christmas cookies. I brought this recipe, pfeffernusse. It's a recipe that my family always made them by the ice cream pail full. Because
pfeffer is pepper, right?
Pepper nuts.
And they're little, and they do look like mm-hmm. nuts. They're just darling.
They are made. Now, I looked up on the internet, of course, and there's all kinds. You can make bigger, softer ones. You can dip them in powdered sugar. There's all kinds. But it's a pepper cookie. People pronounce it different, too. But pfeffernusse, that's how I grew up with
it. Is this your mother's recipe? Is this a family recipe?
This recipe is a combination of recipes from my grandmother Kahn, and Aunt Ramona Nachtigal. Yes, because Aunt Ramona had the texture right. And Grandma had the flavor right.
Okay.
Now, grandma's were, I was a little soft, but so Aunt Ramona, I don't know, somehow you just make them a little. I kind of like to think of them as Lutheran biscotti.
Oh.
I mean, it's a hard little. It's a hard
not a good
little
idea.
Cookie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's made in just the right size to put on a spoon. And
they're tiny. Dip
into a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And you just kind of set, if you don't have to be fancy, you just set the ice cream pail in the middle of the kitchen table.
And they're not terribly, they're not terribly sweet.
No, no. And you can eat them. They do well with tea, too. Now, you'd be surprised what's in this. I like a lot of spices. So, all or some of these: ground black pepper, nutmeg, allspice, ground cloves, cardamom. Lots of those. And then 3 to 4 drops of anise oil. The anise oil I like that.
But you know what? It doesn't hit you in the face when you eat them. It must be like the baseline under it. And maybe with all the spices, you don't even think about it. It's quite good.
Surprisingly, I mean, I really dump the old stuff in there. And
now, where do you find anise oil?
Anise oil?
Yeah, where do you find that?
Let's see, where did I get it? Online, I'm sure.
Yeah. No.
Where'd you get yours?
Oh, I found some at the co-op.
Did you?
Okay. Yeah, maybe they just have it for Christmas. Mm. Up in the with the baking things. Yeah.
They might have it in the King Arthur catalog.
Yeah. No,
maybe.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah, you can get it in a regular grocery store, too, I think, in the Tones place.
Oh, I didn't know it was that common.
Okay. Yeah, but anise oil isn't as hard to find. Some of the other flavors, rose water, I had a hard time finding rose water this year.
Yeah.
Pamels.
Did they have it at Pamels?
Yeah.
I didn't look at Pamels. There you go.
And another thing you can do with all your spices, but particularly with pepper, is I use my coffee. I have a coffee mill dedicated to food spices.
I've learned
but if you grind your spices, particularly the pepper, And the nutmeg and those kinds of things. Well, the nutmeg, you use a nutmeg grater. Allspice, cloves, yeah, and cardamom. Either use your mortar and pestle and grind them fresh, or else put them in the as a blend in this in your spice mill, because your depth of flavor will be much more. It'll just be brighter because your spices will be fresh and all of the volatile oils will pop right in.
I've tried to make eggnog with pre-ground nutmeg before, and you taste it side by side with the fresh grated nut. Not even close.
Oh, tell me your eggnog recipe. What do you like?
Oh gosh, I haven't made it in so long. I don't know if I can give you an accurate recipe.
Well, do you just make it in the blender?
Do I? I'm trying to think. It's been so long. No, I think I make it on the stovetop.
Oh, you cook yours?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, I do. Yeah.
I use a raw one where I just do cream.
I've done both.
Egg yolks. Mm-hmm. And then depends on how naughty you want to be. If you're using cream, then you can put more booze in it. I do tend to put a little milk, and I undersugar mine. And then, of course, the fresh nutmeg at the last minute.
Yep. Okay, here it is. So I do, let's see, the one that I have here is, I have both raw and a cooked preparation. So I have 4 egg yolks, 1/3 cup of sugar, 2 cups of whole milk, 1 cup of heavy cream, 3 ounces of bourbon brandy or rum, 1 teaspoon freshly grated nutmeg, and 1 teaspoon vanilla.
Right. Now, if you have the good local eggs that you know are completely salmonella free, then you can make it raw.
Yep. Yep. And to be honest, I like the raw flavor better than the cooked flavor.
Especially with the egg yolk.
Yeah, because otherwise it tastes a little cooked to me. Uh-huh. It's different. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that idea, well, I think we mentioned this before, all those spices in our spice drawer, they really may not be the freshest. And this time of year,
especially if they're ground or heavily flaked.
And this time of year, you want to spice things up.
So although you can, I mean, I have a jar of nutmegs that I've probably had for 5 years or more.
The whole nutmegs.
Because you're grating them fresh. But
And I keep them in the freezer, too. And I think that preserves them well. So,
Well, thanks to Becky Ringsby for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Great. She has a business called Savor Specialty Chef Services. We talked cookies today and boozy chocolate truffles and hot chocolate and kringla. Oh, yes, we did. Thanks for joining us on the Donna Lana Kitchen. This is Community Radio. You can find out more at khoifm.org and on that page. You can be directed to a lot of good music, a lot of good shows. And you can also find the donate button, because we get by with help from you. You are listeners. Your ears and your good wishes are what help us get along. So, this has been the Donna Lana Kitchen. We've had music today by the Philadelphia Orchestra, the Choral Guild of Atlanta, and we'll go out with an old tune called In the Fields of Frost and Snow, played by a fine dance band called Bare Necessities. This is a very, very, very much a golden oldies tune. It's an old English country dance tune originally written down in 1689. Oh, we love those golden oldies. And in the early 1700s, it was turned into a minstrel tune, more of a upbeat thing. And I read in the notes that I found out about this that this actually, as it was sung as a minstrel tune, was kind of the basis of Old MacDonald Had a Farm. Because to this tune, there would be, you know, so Old MacDougall had a farm. And there would be some, they didn't do E-I-A-I-O, but they did the animal sounds to this thing too. So it's all connected. All these golden oldies are good. Dance around the kitchen table to your favorite holiday music. Bake some cookies. My name is Lana Noctical.
And I'm Donna Puskintas.
Excellent engineering by Evan Taylor. Eat good food. Enjoy life.